Taking you through a Tuesday, and because it is Tuesday, that means it's time for our local beat with Lisa Roberson of the Chronicle Telegram. Joining us in studio, as she always does, it's brought to you by the fine folks at Vandermark Jewelers, a trusted name in jewelry for many, many years. It's on East Broad Street near the hospital. Vandermark Jewelers, a trusted name in jewelry, and I can tell you that firsthand. Lisa, a pleasure to have you in studio as always. How are you?
I am doing well. Thank you for having me.
Well, a lot of things went down since we had you in here last week. Thankfully, it's warmed up some since the last time we had you in studio.
It's warmed up and kids are back in school, thankfully.
You wrote a piece on that earlier. I want to come back to that towards the end here, but I also want to stick with something that I thought was really fascinating, and I think it's one of the aspects of kids missing school that gets totally overlooked, and I'm glad you wrote a piece on this. So tell us what Amy Price of Amherst did for some of the kids that, like every other kid in this area, wasn't in school because of the weather. She did something special for kids that don't have access to something as simple as lunch when they don't go to school.
Yes, this is one of those kind of feel-good stories that I like to write about. I saw it on Facebook. Amy Price put out a message to people in the community that if they needed food, if their students would typically get food in school, to call her up or send her a message, and she would make sure someone from her company would bring them a lunch. She's a real estate agent, real estate broker locally, so she understands, you know, a little bit about how families are in need. And she just said she just thought about how kids wouldn't have that lunch without, you know, school being in session. School hasn't been in session for many, many days at that point. And so she thought she would help them out, and her help reached over 100 kids. So it was really great.
Wow, that's impressive that it gets to that many kids, too. But again, I think that always gets overlooked. I think people look at that on the surface, and they immediately think, you know, these kids are so lucky. They don't have to go to school like the rest of us. They're not going into the office. They're not going into the classroom or whatever the case may be. But, you know, for a lot of kids, you know, going to school, as sad as it may sound, that's a bit of an escape. You know, that might be the best meal they get all day.
I don't think people realize the need that we have in our community. Like, I pulled some numbers before I came here. You know, the entire district of Clearview and the entire district of Lorain, all of the students receive free lunch because of the poverty levels in those communities. And there's a bunch of schools that also hit that level where all of the schools have free lunch because of the poverty in the communities. There's just a lot of kids in need out here and a lot of families that could use that help.
So did she end up delivering these lunches to the homes, or were they to go to a specific spot to get these lunches from her?
No, she asked them to send Facebook messages to her with an address, and her husband, her son, and her daughter kind of just divvied up and went to different communities in North Ridgeville, Oberlin, Elyria, Lorain, and they just hand deliver these meals. They gave kids, you know, a little McDonald's lunch.
It's very cool stuff. Well, like you mentioned at the beginning there, look, that's one of those really awesome feel-good stories, and it's always nice to uncover those. I would imagine those are a little bit easier to cover, right?
Yes, they are a little bit easier. And they also are very eye-opening, and so they help us plan a little bit for the coming year. We'll talk about that a little later.
Sure. I would say I think that's one of the bigger things is, like you said, you don't realize just how important that school aspect is, especially the lunch aspect of those who don't necessarily get it. In fact, we had Susan Pohl on the other day from Avon Lake, not areas you think of with high poverty rates, but there's people living in that area who need help. So it's a good eye-opener, as you mentioned.
Yeah. No, like you said, it brings it back full circle. It's one of the reasons why they're having that charity ball they're having at the end of the month. That's their biggest fundraiser of the year. Well, we're going to come back to kids missing school and the effect that it's kind of had, or the effect in this case that maybe it won't have towards the end of the year. But flu season has been really nasty this season, really nasty. And I think when you talk to people in the medical field, they'll tell you this is one of the few years where maybe you didn't have to get a flu shot.
Because, they are saying the flu shot is only 10% effective, or, you know, cover 10% of flu cases or something of that nature. But, you know, they're seeing hundreds and hundreds of cases in hospitals. The Ohio Department of Health put out about a statistic earlier this week that said 2,000 cases of hospitalization has been seen across the state due to flu. And because of that, you know, University Hospitals, Elyria Medical Center, is limiting their visitors that have. And actually today, Mercy Hospitals and Mercy Allen Hospital did the exact same thing, telling patients, if you're not feeling well, don't come to visit the hospital, visit patients. You know, if you're a child, don't come to the hospital. They also are saying that they have face masks available in the building so people can cover up so they don't spread their germs.
Wow. See, I'm kind of surprised that we didn't hear about more cases last week. And I say that simply because it was so doggone cold last week that you really had no choice but to be confined in an area indoors where, if you had that, it was probably going to spread like a wildfire.
Yeah. But you weren't going out. You were staying in your home, so you were just making your relatives sick.
That's a good point. Yeah. You weren't going out to the store or somewhere else, so you didn't have that chance of getting. But you mentioned that statistic. The fascinating thing, I think it was 369 people were admitted like a year ago.
Yes.
2,000 this year. I mean, that just tells you how rampant this is going.
Yeah. Actually, my fiance was telling me yesterday she dealt with three people in particular that had the flu. And she said, like, that number rises by the day. It's just, it's interesting because, as you mentioned, the flu shot's 10% effective. Mm-hmm. That's a scary number because at the beginning of every single flu season, they encourage you to get that shot. But on a year like this, it's just so wild how even getting that shot, that doesn't make you immune to getting that.
No, it doesn't.
It's just, it is pretty scary. Now, we told you we were going to get back to this idea of the snow days and the effect that it could or could not have. If you could kind of explain the process behind the school districts in the county not having to make up some of these calamity days, because last week was essentially just an extension of that winter break. You know, a lot of schools were scheduled to go back either January 2nd or January 3rd, but it was so incredibly cold last week they couldn't go back in. Then, of course, yesterday was almost like the perfect storm to keep the kids in one more day. But you wrote this article, I think it was on Monday, detailing yes. how these days will not have to be made up.
No. You know, most of the schools in our community are on 4 and 5 days of calamity days. They've already seen so many of them. And so a lot of people are wondering, you know, will this mean they will have, you know, a shorter spring break or a longer school year? Will they have to make these days up? And they won't. Because back in 2014, a new state law passed that moved schools from a schedule that's based on days to a schedule that's based on hours. And so they pad the schedule each year because they want to make sure they have more hours than they need just for moments like this when they can't open the doors and get kids in their classrooms.
Interesting. I mean, it's crazy how that process has changed, too, because they continue to tell us 20-some years ago, if you get snow days, I think we got like 5 every single year. And once you went past 5, every day thereafter, you would have to make up somewhere along the way. Now, they never messed with spring break. I do know of some school districts that would say, we're going to carve a day or two out of your spring break if we don't feel like making it up at the end of the year. Although, see, I feel like that would be really hard for a teacher at the end of the year to try and put something together to try and make up one of those days. Because once you get to a certain point in the school year, you're early June, the kids have got like both arms and one leg out already, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, that's the reason why they moved to this hours-based schedule. Because if you're an eighth grader in an Ohio school, you have to be in school 1,001 hours each school year. And so school districts will say, we'll set our schedule at 1250, for example. And so we have this extra 250 hours to kind of play with if we need to close school. And so, they can miss 4 or 5 days and they still fall under that threshold, so they don't have to make up any days.
True. Students, I'd imagine, love that. I'd imagine for teachers it's a little tougher, though, because now I'd imagine you have things planned out in your lesson plan, and now you've got to kind of condense that to make up for those 5 days you no longer have.
Yes,
right?
You don't miss your schoolwork.
Yeah,
you
yeah,
still
yeah.
have to do all that schoolwork.
Yeah. 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 Yikes.
Well, I know, the people you and I deal with a lot, when outside the show, when we're talking to coaches will tell you, too.
Oh, yeah, that's true, too.
That tremendously affects their practice schedule because every district handles that differently. Like, they limit the amount of hours that you can practice if there's a school cancellation of any sort because of a calamity day. And I know when I was talking with Westlake head coach Sean Hood about that, he said, look, once school gets canceled, you have a very short window to work with. Hmm. And he said it's especially challenging when you're looking at a short turnaround like from a Friday to a Tuesday. He said, look, I already can't make these guys practice on Sunday, so when they cancel school on Monday, that's really the only day that I've got to work with in order to practice these guys. Hmm. And I think you see that, not only at basketball, but I think a lot of these sports endure a lot of those same problems, and coaches are in a tough position as a result.
Sure. Yeah, schools are in tough positions, I think, all the way around with, especially you read off the stuff from Mike Lobb the other day where he was driving around at 5 in the morning checking out the roads, and it's just a rough position to be in, for anyone. No one wants to cancel school. You just have to when you have to.
Yeah, I believe at Elyria High they were coming back to do their mid-year finals, and so the finals were supposed to be this week. But last week, there's no time to, kind of prep for those finals because they didn't have school last week. So now they have to redo this schedule to kind of get kids ready for their finals.
Yeah, no kidding. Without built-in days. I mean, again, that's just got to be condensed somehow into that. That's crazy.
Yeah, no, I've heard that from a couple of kids as well, that it's really, really tough to kind of get back into the swing of things. And like you said, getting ready for some of those midterm exams, it makes it really, really difficult. But we'll cut you loose on this. And I know this might not be a total shock, because I think one of the first times we had you in, you had mentioned when you guys listen to the police scanner, you guys hear a lot about overdoses. And unfortunately, that's something that just continues to pop up over and over and over again. So, you know, there was an increased number of overdose deaths in 2017. What were some of the primary reasons for that? And some of the people that you talked to in putting this story together, what were some of the main reasons for that?
Well, Police Chief Dwayne Whiteley, he gave this update at a recent city council meeting to say that in 2017, Elyria saw 210 overdoses, which is 40 more than we saw in 2016. These are overdoses that police officers responded to investigate, because they often try to track back where the drugs came from, to see if they can build cases against drug dealers and suppliers, to see if they can get these drugs off the streets to reduce the overdoses. And he said it could be for a number of reasons. It can be more people reporting, you know, there's stronger drugs out here, so more people need medical attention. That's the reason why they're reporting these overdoses. More people are using drugs. It just seemed like this heroin and opiate addiction that we have going on in the community is not going to end right now.
Well, before we let you go completely, what kinds of stories do we have in the hopper for the coming week?
Well, actually, I can tell you what we're working on for the coming year. Amy Price, we want to thank her for kind of inspiring us. And so for the coming year, we want to look at feeding Lorain County's children. There's so many kids and families that are, don't know where their next meal is going to come from. And so we really want to tackle some of these stories about what it's like to live in food insecurity.
Very cool stuff. All right, we look forward to reading that not only throughout the rest of the week, but throughout the rest of the year. Lisa, always a pleasure to have you in studio. Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for having me.
Again, Lisa Roberson with the Chronicle-Telegram joining us on our local beat with Lisa. It is brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers in Elyria on East Broad Street near the hospital, a trusted name in jewelry.